54. This is a special meeting of the Port Commission of the Port Authority or the Port of Houston Authority to talk about our strategic plan. This is the, we have a presentation. Raj, why don't you lead into this? But I think the real important part of this equation is that we were mandated to do this, to do a strategic plan every 5 years.
Really brief, you say.
The first one was done 5 years ago. We're required to do another one today in this time frame. And the requirements, interesting, I think we ought to be thinking about our strategic plan, not just every 5 years, but every year, and updating it on an ongoing basis, because this is the area where you get to at 1,000 feet and you focus on giving strategic priorities to the teams. And our budgets, our capital plans, our financing plans, our personnel plans all have to be dovetailed into that vision. So I think it's really important for the commission to really be involved in that process. And the way I sort of look at strategic plans like this, it's management and their consultants' responsibility to put the puzzle pieces on the table and to discuss what they think is important in for the future. And it is the commission's responsibility to then vet that and ultimately set that in motion for management to implement over the long period of time. So that's kind of our role. Roger, why don't you?
Okay. Yes, and real quickly, we have engaged again ICF, Richard and Nick. Nick's not here today, I'm assuming, but Richard's here with us. And absolutely, we think, you know, we did a strategic plan. I thought it was very good when we did it 5 years ago, but, you know, we always think that we can do it better. Very important to get engagement, as Rick said, from top down, down up, and across the organization. And I just want to mention before Richard gets started, the design team that we have chosen. Everybody stand up if you're on the design team. I want you to be recognized. We've invited them here to hear what you have to say. But thank you, because again, I've told them that they were chosen to do this because of their insight and leadership, or whatever. You can be seated to be engaged in this process, and they're joining us here today, and I want to thank them for the work that they've already done. But I think, based upon some of the interviews that have been done with the commission and senior level staff or whatever, we kind of see where we're at, for lack of a better word, and I'm going to hand it over to Rich to get it going.
Thank you very much, and it's good afternoon now to everyone. So the purpose of today's meeting, I think, is to give you all an update on the progress that we've made with the development of the plan, the work we've undertaken so far, and to walk you through the current draft and receive any comments or questions you may have. So we'll take you through the situation analysis, the mission, vision, and core values, and then the meat of it, which is the strategic goals and objectives. First we should just sort of maybe pause, think about why we're doing this. The chairman mentioned some things. I mean, it's actually a requirement in policy to update the strategic plan every 5 years, but there are some much better reasons for doing it than that. The first of those is to make sure that we have alignment among the commission, the management, and the staff around a clear vision. And what are the goals that we need to set to achieve that vision? And I think in this update, we need to reflect in those goals and the objectives, any changes to the priorities since the previous plan. And as Roger said, it's a good plan, but 5 years have passed, a lot's happened in that time. What are the changes in the priorities that we're now looking at? And the third, and absolutely as important as the first two, is to engage and mobilize staff in pursuit of those goals and objectives. That is absolutely, I mean, you can really judge the value of a strategic plan by, not by how pretty the document is, but how engaged people are in pursuing it. And for that reason, we've embarked on what's really quite an inclusive process. Roger talked about the design team of 15 people drawn selected for very good reasons, but actually also drawn from different functions, different levels of the organization, different levels of seniority, different levels of experience with the port. Their names are in the appendix. And I also want to sort of pay tribute to Lindsay on my right, who's not named at the back, but she is actually pulling all this together. She's leading the process for Port Houston, Lindsay Hook. So our role is to facilitate that process, and as you say, arrange the pieces so that you guys can make some decisions around the plan. We've already undertaken one sort of major one-day meeting with the design team that has resulted in the development of this draft. It reflects their input and also that from the meetings, that the interviews that my colleague Nick and I had with all of you and with the chiefs. But that's just the start of the process. This draft is now obviously being reviewed today, but in 2 weeks' time we have another series of key meetings. First of all, with Port Houston staff, we'll have focus group meetings with them and additional outreach, which the design team will do. The design team aren't just working in those one-off meetings, they're also part of their role to go and consult with their own colleagues and their own functions. And secondly, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be holding some quite extensive meetings with stakeholders, three different types of external stakeholders, from the community, from the industry partners, and from the users of the Houston Ship Channel. It's a somewhat more extensive process than we had 5 years ago, and there's a very deliberate reason behind that, which you'll see as we get into the plan.
Excuse me just a moment. If any of you people sitting back in the back are having trouble hearing, feel free to come up here and sit closer. I got his back turned, and I've seen y'all stretching a little bit.
So. Yeah, I'll raise my voice too, so there we go. So that's the process. The key elements of the plan, as last time, will be mission, vision, core values, strategic goals and objectives, and then a key element which we won't show today, the performance measures, which are basically going to be how we tie all this together and make sure that we're achieving progress against the plan. We'll work on those performance measures at the next meeting with the design team. But one of the nice things about the way the objectives are coming out is that I think they lend themselves quite well to measurability. So what does the current draft look like? First point is we need to do a little bit of consideration of the current situation of Port Houston. What have we actually achieved since the last plan was created? What are some of the current issues and challenges that we face? And then there's a sort of formal one-page SWOT analysis at the end of that. So it's really instructive to see just how much the organization has achieved over a 4 to 5 year period. I mean, on the business side, the business of the port has really thrived. Between 2014 and 2018, we've had an increase of over 40% in operating revenue, and that's been driven, as you can see on the graph on the right, that's been driven by a pretty rapid increase in container volumes. Volumes that were, you know, essentially flat or rising slowly until about 2014, but have really taken an extremely rapid increase since that time. And through that increase has also come a rapid increase in the level of economic value that the organization delivers. For example, it's almost $380 billion worth of economic value just to the state of Texas. Obviously, more than that to the US as a whole. But that shows the sort of economic contribution which Port Houston is making to the region. And within that, that's the greater port. But within that, the authority itself, its facilities are delivering just over 50% of that value. So it's a really substantial economic contribution. During that period, the headcount did grow by 20%, so a substantial growth, but not on the same level as the growth in the business itself. What about employee satisfaction? The organization has started running satisfaction surveys, and the 2018 one, the most recent one, showed a good measurable improvement from 2016, which I'm sure we hope will continue. Safety also is significantly better than the industry average as measured by the lost time rate. So all good things. There are, however, a number of current issues and challenges, some of which are similar to those that we found 5 years ago, but a number of ones are quite new, or at least need stronger consideration than we had 5 years ago. And the first, I mean, this has been a long-running question, is, you know, what should be the balance between the business and the public agency role of Port Houston? And many of the commissioners and indeed the chiefs as well argued that perhaps that a greater focus recently has been on the business, and perhaps there needs to be a little rebalancing to make sure that we're taking care of also the public agency responsibilities. Are we serving all the channel users adequately, for example? And that will also have implications for the focus of future capital investment. You know, to what extent do we simply continue to invest in the growth of the container facilities, and to what extent do we spread some of the investment around other potential uses, such as the intermodal network, the channel itself, and other potential uses? So that's a question which I think will never be completely answered, but it's an important thing to think about in developing the plan. Obviously, the big issue is sort of foremost in everyone's mind is the need to widen and deepen the channel, and the immediate point there is the need to agree funding and expedite that development. But the third one is something which I think has come much more to the fore now. There's very strong agreement among commissioners and chiefs that there really needs to be a much stronger engagement with stakeholders, stronger connections, doing it in a more strategic manner. What are our objectives with stakeholder engagement and making sure that all the things we do support those objectives. And really developing a clearer identity of Port Houston with stakeholders and the public. So make sure that everyone is aware of the role of Port Houston and the value that it brings to the region. People issues, that's not new. Those were absolutely there in the previous strategic plan, and they still need to be there. They're still absolutely foremost in everyone's minds. They cover issues such as culture, morale, compensation, success planning, diversity, and staff development and competencies. Those need to be taken account. There were some comments, particularly from commissioners, about the strategic plan process itself. I think there's a feeling that there needs to be that commissioners haven't heard enough about progress reporting against the plan. Everyone's aware that there's a plan, but progress doesn't get reported out on a regular basis. And particularly, what we're looking for is reporting on the outcomes that are being achieved through the plan. As opposed to, for example, some of the more detailed actions. So some kind of dashboard by which you can monitor progress on a regular basis would probably be helpful in that respect. And the other aspect of the strategic plan is, are we getting enough engagement around the plan, not just at the senior levels, but at all levels of the organization? I mean, it's a tough thing to do, but that is the mark of when a strategic plan is really successful. So we need to really work at it. And there are a few other issues mentioned. I mean, environment and sustainability, workplace technology, and particularly cybersecurity, and also capital efficiency and effectiveness. What do we mean by that? Well, a huge proportion of the expenditure of the organization is capital spend. So if you can achieve some improvements in the way that you do that spend, then you're reducing funding requirement, or at least freeing up a huge amount of funds for the potential uses. So those were the key issues and challenges that we found, I mean, principally from the interviews with all of you, and with the senior staff. And then the next page, I think probably not one to go through in great detail, but this sort of captures the results of that analysis in terms of a set of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats that Port Houston faces. Many of the strengths are still the same as they were before. Obviously, the strong market base, the good customer relationships, the location of the port near to a large industrial base and growing population, the consistent and reliable contribution of labor, which actually is still a significant competitive advantage compared to some of the other competing ports, for example, West Coast. Weaknesses. I mean, clearly the assets are aging. You've got limitations in the channel, and you don't have full freedom to be able to fund all the changes to the channel that you want to make. Then the other things which I think become more important this time around: insufficient stakeholder engagement, and with some stakeholders, a perception of a lack of transparency and diversity in the way that the port operates. So, that's something that needs to be taken into account in this plan. And organizational challenges, as noted before, and some issues with cumbersome processes which could be addressed. So, that gives rise to a whole set of, great opportunities in terms of stakeholder outreach and how we influence stakeholders. How can we advocate for the ship channel in a focused manner? How can we raise visibility of the organization's role and economic contribution? And how can we get not just stakeholder advocacy, but also employee advocacy and engagement? Again, that remains a challenge and one that we should put a lot of focus on. Still, the threats include the scarcity of funding for some to address some of the challenges that we face, and just shortages of capacity in channel, road and rail, which are only likely to get more difficult as volumes increase. So I don't want to sort of go through the whole list there. That's just some of the highlights, but that's the sort of background against which we start to put together the new goals and objectives in the plan. Any questions about the situation analysis? So the plan starts with the mission, the vision, and the core values. And our general feeling, and that of I think most commission members, and that of the design team, is that we've got a pretty good mission, vision, and core values. They don't need to change much, if at all. But what we do need to do is find ways to communicate them more effectively and make it clearer and make them more meaningful to individual members of staff and individual stakeholders. So we have tried in this to provide some words that sort of express a little bit more succinctly what these statements mean. So let's start with the mission statement: to move the world and drive regional prosperity. So the mission statement is about why we exist. So it describes what we do and why we do it, and it's in two parts. The first part, move the world, is really describing what we do. So, for example, we're operating terminals, we're leasing terminals, we're sponsoring the channel. This is what we do to enable imports and exports to move between Houston and the rest of the world. The second part, drive regional prosperity, that looks behind what we do at why are we doing this? What's the overall purpose behind this? Well, everything that we do creates wealth and jobs throughout Texas, throughout Houston, throughout Texas, and actually beyond that, but especially for the immediate region. It includes jobs for port staff, but it includes jobs for many, many more people beyond that. And I think that's a sort of purpose that we hope that employees will be able to identify with and feel is important to what they do. The vision statement America's distribution hub for the next generation. The vision statement is the end state. If the mission statement is why we exist, the vision is the end state that we want to achieve. And again, it's in two parts. First of all, America's distribution hub. So what that's saying is we want to be a national leader, not just a regional, but a national leader in facilitating imports and exports. We want to have increased market share. We want to have increased channel capacity. We want to be a genuine distribution hub. The second part of it, for the next generation, what that's saying is that, you know, we're always preparing for the future in a number of ways. First of all, by developing our workforce in such a way that they are dynamic, they're engaged, they're diverse. We're developing a supplier base, which is likewise dynamic, engaged, and diverse. So not just for now, but also for the next generation. Secondly, we're anticipating the future market needs. We're not just sitting on our laurels. We're harnessing technology, and we're looking after our assets. We're looking after the installed base and not allowing it to deteriorate. And then the core values, just a reminder about how these were created. These were developed by authority employees back in 2015. There was a process by which initially four priority values were established: the respect, excellence, accountability, and diligence. So the READ, which spells READ, but actually then a bright employee noticed that actually if you put Y on the end, you could get across the idea that we do all of this for you, whether you're an employee, a customer, or a local resident or stakeholder. So now we have this concept of ready, which sort of captures that the authority is ready to serve and ready for the future. So again, the design team felt that this works. I mean, it's not perfect, but it still works. And again, we just need to be more active, proactive in explaining the core values as well as the mission and the vision to explain why they are what they are. Any comments on the mission, vision, and core values? So now we come on to the strategic goals and objectives. These are still.
I have a question. Was there any debate about whether these are the right core values in your design team and in the discussions?
There was certainly debate. It wasn't a long debate. I think when people look at those values, they sometimes say, well, you know, are these absolutely the best values? Could we substitute this value for that value? You could, but if you're going to do that, you would probably need to open up the whole value question again. I mean, that is an option that's open. It's probably beyond the scope of this exercise, but I mean it remains an option if there's sufficient
values. I just wanted to know if you were debating them internally and how that kind of went.
So one of the discussions that took place was if we are to re-examine the values, that we think we should go back out to a wider audience, mm-hmm. organization wide, not necessarily through this process.
That's it.
Kind of similar to what we did the first time around, to try to really engage the staff in how we look at the core values. So we didn't necessarily think it was part of this exercise, but we're going to have further discussions on how we might look at it organization-wide. Because there was a lot of debate, and I think that some people are hesitant on what the values are.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you. So the meat of this is really the goals and objectives. The strategic goals are normally we try to get three to five key pillars that sort of set out how it is that you're going to achieve your visions. You know, these are the key priorities that the organization has to focus on and thinking about. Five is probably at the top end of how many things people can focus on. But we haven't managed to knock out any of the five. People, the design team felt that these were all important things to consider. First of all, people. the key goal is to invest in and engage our people. It's two key priorities for people. Infrastructure. I think we want to talk about all infrastructure, but we want to call out channel because that's the immediate priority. So it's about providing channel capacity and infrastructure, not just for Port Houston, but to serve the region. Efficiency is thought to be a key priority. So implementing efficiencies for the greater port, again, not just for Port Houston, but taking somewhat of a leadership role in planning that out for the port, for the greater port. Stakeholders, clearly from all people we spoke to, this is has to be something that appears in the plan this time. So the goal there is to develop and strengthen partnerships with stakeholders. And the final one, we're not sure whether the right word for this is stewardship or sustainability. There was quite some debate about which was the right word, and I don't think we really got to a final decision on that. I'll be interested to get comments from the from the commission today. But what this is about is about how we create greater value from Port Houston's activities for the region, which is it is about, you know, sustaining the value that's created and taking care of the assets. So breaking that down into the individual objectives beneath those goals, probably need to refer to the printed page here. We don't have measures for these objectives yet, but we will have, and I think you'll see that many of these objectives are, you know, eminently measurable. So this is about breaking down those five goals into something which is more specific, more tangible, and more measurable. So under people, under investing and engage our people, there are three aspects of that. It's about attracting talent, developing talent, and retaining talent. It's about increasing employee engagement, engaging our people. And it's about establishing Port Houston as a place people really want to work. And there are various measures you can use for that, but, you know, having it in one of Houston or the region's best places to work, for example, would be a good goal for that.
Let's talk about that for a second with Commissioner. So one of the things that I have my observation over the last 8 months of my, you know, career as Port Commissioner, and I know having talking to Wendy about this as well, sort of how you see the Port of Houston as an entity, okay, and you got on one hand, it's an incredibly well-run business, and I'm talking about container ships and Bayport, you know, and Barber's Cut, and by any measure, amazingly successful business. Okay? And then on the other hand, you have, it's a government entity. Successful businesses often, and that's almost an oxymoron, right? A successful business and a government entity. And so one of the things that I think we need to challenge as a commission, the group, is to be, if you're going to be a really successful business over a long period of time, you have to be able to have the best and the brightest. You have to be a place where people want to work. You have to create value for those people, create great upper mobility, and they have to have a really good place to work too. I mean, if you look at some of the companies that are trying to get the same talent we are, they're focused on very new and attractive offices and just all kinds of things that people sort of put in the category of, if you really want me to be here, I need to have upside mobility, I need to be paid well, I need to like where I am, I need to be in a good spot, and otherwise, why would I come here? I can go there, right? And so on the one hand, oftentimes government entities don't think that way, like really successful businesses do, and I think we're at a crossroads, perhaps, especially with our current office environment, right? We're going to fix it. We're not going to fix it. We're going to, you know, and those kinds of things. And the issue of, and especially the issue of being a government agency and maybe in the past, you think of government agencies as being capital starved and not necessarily having capital to invest. And in this case, you have this really successful business that's been run amazingly well. And clearly the commissioners who've been here a long time know that. And that is well-funded. And so if you almost have this kind of contradiction, right? It's a government entity, so you should be kind of watching every penny, but you're this really successful business that ought to be investing in their people and their infrastructure, not only not just the channel, but to provide that productivity. So you have this kind of push-pull. I personally believe and have believed in any of the entities that I've ever worked in, is you have to have worked in that have been government entities and businesses, that you have to sort of be more business and less government, so that you can, especially when you have a product that and a business that's creating a lot of value from an investment dollar perspective. And so that takes a change of mindset a bit. And we, as we've discussed in the compensation committee, you know, maybe we ought to have incentive programs. Maybe we ought to have programs that are designed for millennials that where they can come and work here for a long time, right? Even though millennials don't do anything for a long time, generally, right? So it's an interesting thought, because those are specific things that we as a group, as the commission, have to embrace and decide, do we want to move that direction? Clearly it's done really well with the business side of the equation. And then when you start getting into the stakeholder issues and things like that, I think those are different issues that are part of the same issue, which is, are you business or are you government? And then how do you do both really, really well? And I think you have to invest in both financially and infrastructure wise and the effort, time and effort to do it. But to me, when you read about people and you start thinking about, this is the place we want people to work, we want to develop and retain talent, I see a lot of fairly, you know, there's a lot of very tenured people here that are like old. I didn't look at Roger for a reason.
Hey, I'm sitting right here.
Well, the question is whether or not you have an environment to attract millennials.
That's true.
And I would just say that we don't have an environment that attracts millennials because of those very things that you just talked about that are in the private sector that we don't do because we are a governmental entity, you know? So how do you come up with that hybrid that, you know, that will attract, you know, millennials?
Well, as long as it's not, as long as you're not violating your statutes, right, with certain things, and you can operate your business within that same construct, I think you have to decide that's what you want.
Yep.
And then you have to go that way.
Yeah.
And that's what a strategic plan and strategic goals do. And so to me, I think as the commission, we all would want to be able to say, Port of Houston is one of the best workplaces in our region. Port of Houston is very profitable. Port of Houston engages their stakeholders, and you can define stakeholders very broadly to channel users, to people on the channel. Maybe they don't use the channel, but they support the channel. And then you can even broaden it out to more regional. You know, our shareholders are the citizens of all the counties, you know, surrounding us here, right? And so, to me, the definition of what we want this to mean is what we have to kind of embrace. And
I think it's even broader than that in terms of stakeholders of the port. I think our stakeholders are customers of Walmart. I think our stakeholders are people that drive Volkswagens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I You know, I think when you
or Teslas start, in Europe, they go out in a
container.
I think we have to. Great. We have to change that because you think a lot of times we're compared to government entities. Mm-hmm. You know, just from outside or whatever, and we have to embrace who we are and what we are, and we had to change that. So I agree.
Me too. I've always thought that we should be recognized more as a business instead of a government agency.
Mm-hmm. And that's coming from the old guys.
Yeah, that's coming from the old guys.
The non-millennials.
Don't look at me.
If a business is well run, and if a business is, and if you think about it, government is in the business of taking care of its constituents, isn't it? Really? And unfortunately, we tend to think of it as a structured, you know, group that should do certain things and not other things. And in this case, the Port of Houston is an amazing business, and I think that we have the opportunity to invest those dollars that are created in that business into supporting the people and supporting to create more value for everyone. So I it's interesting when you think about these broad topics. And you have four, like A is like is, you know, five words, right? Attract, develop, and retain talent. You got to spend money to do that.
Right.
You got to invest in infrastructure. You have to invest in policies. You have to invest in strategy so that you can go get that done. And I think we need to think more about that. And as part of this plan, it then translates ultimately into budgets and policies, right? In our last pension and benefits meeting, we were talking about extending like short-term disability. And I was like, so someone who has a baby at Port of Houston before we actually did that, one of our employees had no maternity benefits, no short-term disability, yet if you think about the people we're competing with, my daughter, who just had a baby at Halliburton, on Halliburton's insurance, had 16 weeks of paid leave, and 12 weeks of mother bonding that she got. Well, I can tell you that, and she has three college degrees, and she is working there because of that, right? So we need to think about those things. That's how it translates into people attract the best and the brightest. We need these folks. So we have to then say, all right, it's good that we approve short-term benefits or the short-term disability, but we need to go beyond that. And you need to then focus that and put it in the budget for the, and that's what I think we're trying to do here. So I just wanted to kind of stop and really unpack this idea of people and establishing the port as a place people want to work, because we are going to have to do things that cost money. And to make sure that we get, you know, the best and the brightest here.
Absolutely.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Great.
Can I just try? What I heard then was that, you know, you're saying that the organization is pretty good at being a business in the sense of generating revenue, but it needs to be also more like a business in doing some of the other things that it needs to do, like, you know, how it manages people and how it engages with stakeholders. It's actually becoming more, so it's not so much about the choice between being a business or a government agency, it's actually being more like a business at some of those other activities, and actually being better at the business of being a government agency.
Exactly, no question about it. And oftentimes people think of costs as expenses, but they're actually investments, right? When you're investing in that strategy, investing in those people, And to me, it's when you are getting better at your business and you're better at your business as a government, being a government entity, you have to invest in that, and that is an expense. And a lot of folks look at it and go, well, what does this generate in revenue today? Oftentimes, and the problem with that analysis is it doesn't. It's that intrinsic value that creates. You get smart people doing really smart things, and that creates the flywheel effect for your future, and that whenever you make an investment, you just have to say, this is why I'm doing it, and I believe it's fundamentally right to do, and ultimately it'll pay dividends down the road, but
So it's not about what's my current net income and can I maximize that by minimizing my expenses. I want to invest in things that ultimately will create value long term.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
It might be a short term expense, like a maternity leave. That's actually a long term expense when you have a lot of millennials with babies.
Well, yeah, but you know, but again, the other side of that is that, you know, somebody that today is, you know, in the process of, you know, starting their family is the employee that's here 30 years from now, you know, and so, you know, and did she stay because, you know, we had those types of things in place and it was a good place to work and the environment, you know, was, right. you know, was conducive to, you know, to raising a family, you know, so. Yeah. Because I think that's something that we have to look at, you know, and, you know, from a whole different perspective, it's like, you know, especially for, you know, women starting, you know, young women coming, starting a family, is it an environment where they feel like it's conducive for them to raise a family and grow their careers?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Great. Okay. So people, very important topic, and that's why it's the first. So infrastructure is the next. And the goal is provide channel capacity and infrastructure to serve the region. And absolutely the first priority in that is widen and deepen the Houston Ship Channel, which obviously, again, that's a huge project. There's a lot behind that. There are some other aspects of developing infrastructure there, which we shouldn't forget. And the design team felt that it was important that we think about the wider distribution network. You know, what happens to goods when they leave the port? What's the intermodal distribution on from there? Now, you can't necessarily control all of that development, but you can influence it. Hence the objective being written as drive development of the intermodal distribution network. That could be about, you know, working with the rail providers. It could be about the sort of trucking solutions. But you know, in any case, you know, that's going to be a capacity, you know, a capacity point of failure if we don't do something about that. And thirdly, there's an IT aspect to infrastructure as well. And speaking to the concerns about cybersecurity, the third objective there is to develop secure IT solutions that make the business and the organization more resilient. Please stop me if you want to talk about any of these points as we go.
Well, I think it's good that we've recognized, you know, we're expanding this infrastructure piece, that it's not just centered around our own infrastructure. And I think that's an important part. Talking about freight mobility, you're talking about the channel. It's even beyond widening and deepening. It's maintaining and planning for the next channel and those type of infrastructure things. So I think we had an infrastructure goal last time, and to me, I think it was more internal than external, but recognizing the fact that that's expanded, I think, is what's important going forward.
Yeah.
We had a lot of heated discussion out there at San Jacinto College the other day around infrastructure, so that's good. Healthy.
Next one is efficiency. And often we think about efficiency just as being something internal, but the way the group has been thinking about this is implementing efficiencies for the greater port. And so the very first objective, optimize vessel traffic efficiencies, is a sort of slightly different way of thinking about efficiency. It's about, you know, whatever capacity we have in the channel, how do we make best use of that available capacity? And who is thinking about that? Who is thinking about how to optimize that? Is that a leadership role which Port Houston could potentially play? So I thought that was quite interesting. We hadn't really talked about that before. That was an interesting point that came out of the design team discussion, I thought.
I think it's so apropos. If you're going to deepen and widen the channel, it ought to be more efficient.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yes.
And it's an item that you're seeing talked about a lot in a lot of ports. Mm-hmm. How do we move transit through and out and through and around it more efficiently? And it also ties into the intermodal distribution issue too, right? It's like, okay, we may not control anything that leaves out of what our container terminals, but you sure can get involved in with other groups that do control that and continue to work in those areas.
So in addition, there's a thought that a number of the internal processes of the organization could be streamlined. We haven't got into the detail of which processes and which the priorities yet, but I mean, it could be things like budget, procurement, the usual suspects. There's a thought. So that probably needs a little bit more specificity down the line, but the thought is that there needs to be some streamlining. And with that, use of leading edge technology to improve efficiency. And that could be technology employed in the port operations, but also could be just the internal working arrangements of the organization.
Video port commission meetings.
By law, you can't do that. Oh. You have to be present.
The fourth one, stakeholders, this is key, develop and strengthen partnerships with stakeholders. So what are the priorities there? First priority, you actually got to open proper communications with stakeholders, proactive two-way communication. You've also got to address the issue of transparency and diversity, make sure that we foster a culture of that, whether it's about our employees or whether it's about our contracting. And thirdly, once you have those things established, how do you use the relationships that you have? Working with the stakeholders to identify what your common goals are, and then how do you work together to accomplish those common goals? So cultivate key relationships to accomplish common goals. So those are the three stakeholder priorities that our team identified. And then under the stewardship / sustainability category, this is all about value for the region. Recently, the strategy for environmental leadership was adopted, was approved, and that just needs to be implemented. So I think in the previous plan, we talked about being an environmental leader, but it was pretty hard to pin down exactly what that meant. So there's been some work done to define the strategy for environmental leadership. So the next step is to crystallize that, implement it. The second objective there is around incidents. And this is obviously particularly talking about incidents in the channel affecting the greater port. And again, this is an opportunity for the organization to demonstrate a leadership role. How do we prevent incidents? How do we plan for how we're going to mitigate them? And how do we respond to them quickly when, unfortunately, they do occur? Finally, there needs to be something about the business in quotes. And part of sustainability for whether it's for the organization itself or for the region as a whole is to secure and grow the business base. So if you can grow the revenue and also protect it against a possible downturn by making sure it's adequately diversified, you're not only protecting the revenue base of the port, you're also protecting the economic value that flows to the region. So that is actually, that's where we, the only place here that we look at the revenue side of the business, but even there is a region-wide aspect to it. Thoughts? What's missing? What should be added? Anything you disagree with, anything needs to be clarified.
I actually have a question on that very last point about the diversified business. Was that more inwardly focused or Port of Houston focused? I mean, do we have a role in the overall diversity of the Port of Houston? Maybe, maybe not. I mean, just doing the channel obviously contributes to that, but that's a question.
I think it's more focused on the port's business.
I think that's what was intended, but I'm just asking a question.
Right.
And part of the discussion at the end of the day was we had a lot of things that we, obligations, but we identified that we still needed to keep a focus on growing our revenues to pay for it all.
Yeah, of course.
Because before, growth was its own goal.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Yeah. And I assume that, but I was just asking
the question. Growth was
any business should look at diversifying its revenue sources and looking at the viability of those revenue sources over a long period of time. And if you don't do that, you can get surprised. And that obviously means that you are not a sustainable business then you have to worry about how do you make your investments that you need to make if you don't have the capital to do it. So I think that's a smart thing to look at. I would think it's mostly our business as opposed to diversifying the channel's business. You got plenty of businesses that are out there figuring that out.
You know, and if I can steal where you're going, I mean, today is a checkpoint. I mean, this is things that we've taken back that we've heard from you. Our group has, you know, encompassed their ideas and everything. And kind of, it's, you know, it's still in process or whatever, but you kind of got to align, hey, these are kind of the goals that we're working around as we develop this moving forward. So, you know, it's not something that we wanted to bring to the commission and say, okay, here it is. Do you like it? Or, you know, the engagement's been really nice this time to start with a lot of good feedback from the top down. So. It's been a good start to the process.
And just another theme I would pick out from looking at all the strategic goals and objectives, and we started this discussion with saying, you know, are we a business? Are we a public agency?
Yeah.
But actually, we're both. And I think what we're trying to do through this set of goals and objectives is show the both aspects throughout the plan. So hopefully it achieves that. So going forward, next steps, that this is the checkpoint on September 24th. The next steps are the stakeholder engagement meetings and internal focus group reviews 2 weeks from now. After that, there'll be further checkpoints with the chiefs, but also the chiefs will have, two more opportunities to make their input. But there's also critically a design team workshop on the 30th of October, which we'll look at all the feedback that we've received and figure out how to incorporate that and also take this a level further, developing what are the measures by which we're going to judge success against the objectives. There's then a final check with the Commission on December 10, and the plan is to obtain approval at the January meeting.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
Just the last thing, these stakeholder meetings that we've had, we've selected, I think, a good range of people in the group. Lindsay, if you maybe want to kind of give a highlight of who's in each group. I mean, like the...
So for communities, we have a lot of the citizens advisory panels and different community members. We have some green groups around the area. We have different community stakeholders that will weigh in on some of the priorities that come from the community. We have industry users and partners. That's looking at maybe some of the emergency response groups, Captain of the Port, and some other channel users, so that we are considering our partners as well.
Energy sector.
And then we have the Big Ten and some of the energy sector, a lot of the businesses and neighbors along the ship channel doing business and working to drive their business forward as well. So those are kind of the three main groups that we're considering.
Okay.
Well, if there are no other questions, I mean, thank you very much for your time. And I mean, Roger referred to the design team at the beginning, but I just want to say that the contribution of the 15 people that were selected has been phenomenal so far, and they've shown a lot of creativity and engagement in it that they've applied to this process. So I want to thank all of them.
Thank you. Great. Any questions or comments? Okay, so in this part, let's see. Do I have any executive sessions? Sure. No.
We always post it, though, just in case.
We're done. Okay, great. So we'll adjourn this special meeting of the commission.
Thanks. Thank you.